Hello, everybody. My name is Joe Vargas, and you're listening to My Swift Journey podcast, my adventures of becoming an iOS developer. How you doing, everybody? It's Joe. It is December 9th at 3:08 p.m. And I know what you're thinking. Dang, Joe, where have you been, man? as you should be wondering, if you even wonder about that. A thousand apologies to everyone, every listener who has stuck it out through the last few episodes. I sincerely apologize. A lot of things came up really quick. Exciting things, I believe. I'll make sure and run the. I'll make sure and catch you up on that. Update you on all that. So, first and foremost, I'm gonna try and pretend that, you know, it hasn't been a month and a half since I've last recorded one of these. And if I sound a little tired, if I sound a little loopy or something, I just got off my hitch, my 14-day hitch, but not only a 14-day hitch, but a night one where I worked overnight. So right now, I just got off work 6 hours ago, and right now it's 3 p.m. It's technically 3 a.m. for me. You know, that's how my body feels right now. Like, it's the time. So for the last 6 hours, I've been just drinking, you know, a cup of coffee after a cup of coffee, trying to stay caffeinated and stay awake so I don't nap. Because I usually, when I get out of these hitches, these night hitches, I like to remain awake all day. So I can be tired by the evening and hopefully get a few hours of sleep overnight, get my body back into a normal person schedule. That's what I'm doing right now. And I wanted to do this, I wanted to record this podcast in the evening, just in case I was falling asleep, you know, a little too early than I wanted to. But I was like, you know, I have this energy, I guess because of all the coffee I've had right since 9, I'm a little, you know, energetic. I'm trying to make use of the energy that I have right now and stay awake. And here I am, recording this episode at 3 in the afternoon. Usually I've recorded the previous ones like at 10, 11 o'clock at night. But, you know, it's a little different and it's fine. So if you remember on episode 4, I think I mentioned, oh no, I did mention, there was these two job openings, iOS job openings. One was in the aerospace industry and the other one was in the medical field. And I remember telling you guys that if, because these two jobs were constantly on the market. It's like these two companies couldn't retain or keep these roles filled. And I said that, you know, one of these days, I feel it, that one of them or both of them were going to be vacant. Well, as luck would have it, the following day, the day after I recorded episode 4 and I posted it up, the following day, the one in the medical field popped up on my queue. I forgot where it was, I think Indeed or something. And I just found it so funny that the day after that I mentioned it, it appeared. I was, you know, giving it the benefit of the doubt. Maybe it's going to take a day, two, maybe a week or something. But no, it so happened the day after I posted episode 4 and I teased about it that it showed up on my queue. So so that's that. Where have I been the past month and a half? Well, I believe I mentioned that I was going to have a phone call meeting with a representative. His name is Nathan. And he's from DevSlopes, a company where pretty much it's like they offer boot camp courses, whether web development, iOS development. And I was going to have a phone call with him, see what they would have to offer. And I'm quite familiar, even before finding out that they had these types of boot camps, I was well aware of who DevSlopes was, because I had purchased courses from them on Udemy. So I was pretty familiar on their teaching style and what they were about. But I wasn't too sure about the boot camps and the syllabus, their structure on the actual boot camp itself. So a phone call with Nathan took place, and basically he asked me what has been my experience with Swift, and I pretty much told him everything from the last past 5 years of me learning and trying to put myself out there and apply for jobs, and just, you know, I wasn't having any bites on those applications. And so basically he told me about the awesome perks that DevSlopes offer, and one of those perks, I wouldn't even consider it a perk, but one of the great things about DevSlopes is how competitive they are with other boot camps out there. You see, a lot of these boot camps, they cost as much as a year of tuition of college. So give or take $40,000. I've seen them as much as $40,000, and I've seen them as little as $7,000. I believe their direct competitor, I'm not gonna pick on anybody, but I'm familiar with their direct competitor. They charge about $7,000 for about a 16 week boot camp. And not everybody is blessed to have $7,000 laying around, you know, especially during this these difficult times where people have lost their jobs and everything. They're trying to penny pinch everything, penny pinch all, you know, make sure they only spend on what they need, because a lot of folks, you know, they lost their jobs and all that, unfortunately. So yeah, a lot of people don't want to spend, you know, a lot of money on things that they don't need. And again, $7,000 is quite a chunk of money to just you know, gamble, or, you know, pretty much you know, I guess gamble on oneself to, a, you know, if I pay this money, am I going to be as dedicated and, you know, come out in the end being the developer I want to be. But one of the things about great things about DevSlopes is that they are about a half of the cost of their competitor. So pretty much it's about $4,800 on a 16-week coding boot camp. And Nathan, he ran through the perks of DevSlopes and on what they offer. And just quickly, some of these perks are mentorship, which includes weekly graded projects, coach support, career coaching, and weekly meetups. Now, one of the things that I was really in need of this whole time of learning on my own was coach support and career coaching, because pretty much the whole mentorship aspect of it, the coach support and career coaching, because I think I mentioned this before in previous episodes, where it's so difficult learning how to code on your own and relying not only on yourself but others and material that you find on YouTube and documentations, Stack Overflow. We're all gonna run into a specific error, that we need an answer or guidance tailored to that error. Stack Overflow, there's so many people who are just jumping in on posts and just, you know, throwing all their suggestions on how to figure out an error that you're receiving. And which is cool, you know, if you're lucky, you'll find a suggestion, a solution that works. But sometimes you're not so lucky. And having a mentor, someone you can reach out by chat or, you know, text message or something, it's great to have somebody there who can just, you know, you post your error, and if it's not an instructor, it's the many other students who are enrolled and that are more advanced in the academy, who have the time and just jump in there and freely just like, if they can't walk you, some do walk you through it, but others, they're like, oh, have you tried this? Hey, I remember having that error. This is what I did. I mean, they're just, you know, pinging you until, you know, you with the error get it right and it starts working. It compiles successfully, you know, versus, you know, if you're doing it on your own, you're watching video after video, reading documentation after documentation, post after post. I mean, by the time you know it, it's been hours that you've gone through so much, and maybe you found the answer, maybe you didn't. But that's hours compared to the advantage of Depth Slopes when you have a community of students and instructors there at your disposal to, you know, toss your question in there, your error, whatever, and they get back to you right away. And it doesn't take hours to get some sort of answer. It takes a matter of minutes, really. So that is a huge, huge plus on this. So, a quick rundown. It's a 16-week training program that consists of coding challenges and exercises, graded projects, weekly exams, a capstone project, and 150-question final certification exam, and unlimited career training. Now, going back to this 150-question final certification exam, it's basically an actual certification that Apple sponsors or holds, and you know, when you pass an exam, you earn the fact of you receive an Apple Development by Swift certification. This pretty much, you know, shows everyone, recruiters, employers, that you know your stuff when it comes to Swift. It holds a very, very heavy value that even those recruiters or employers really, you know, putting their feet down and wanting an applicant to have a bachelor's degree in computer science, you know, even those will have to, you know, bow down to the certification that you earn after completing and passing the exam. So, you know, that there alone is, you know, probably pretty much a cherry on top that sold me to enroll in the program. And even after completing the program, you get to join their alumni, and, you know, where you can help incoming students or even like help, you know, those who have already passed. Pretty much, it's, you know, you're within the community of students past and present who are pretty much collaborating still and who have gotten jobs and you know, in the already working professionally, and in that alone, it's awesome. You know, again, when you have that type of community at your disposal, ready to help or lend a helping hand, that's invaluable. Basically, it's priceless to have that type of support from coaches, from teachers, and from fellow students. So what's my current progress right now? Well, I officially enrolled in the last week of October, and I really couldn't get started as quickly as I wanted to start the courses, because my sister was coming to visit me that weekend and gonna stay the week, so I didn't want to like get started, get in the zone, and then, leaving, not enjoying my time with my sister. So when I enrolled, I didn't start on it until like a week later. So a quick rundown of what I've done so far. Week one, courses, pretty much learning the basics. Learn about coding, compiling code to run in Terminal, where Logic actually runs. That was pretty cool. That I've never learned. I didn't even know you can do that with Swift. So that was an interesting take on that. In week two, I pretty much got a refresher on data types, functions, arrays, dictionaries, inheritance, polymorphism, and optionals. Most of these I've worked with in the past, but those that I've never worked with, were familiar, and it was a joy learning them. I'm currently, actually, I had just finished week three, which is pretty much a refresher on auto layout and segues. Segues, as simple as some can distinguish them, they can be a bit challenging, especially for me, since even in my own personal projects, I've never had to use them, and not only use them, but having to pass data from one view controller to another. But with those lessons and the coding challenges combined, I was able to pretty much ace the weekly assignment within a few days. The cool thing is that when you submit them, the instructor, Nate, he actually goes in there and, comments and offers his feedback, constructive criticism, on how, you could improve the code and everything, which I happily welcome. And that is pretty awesome of them for, to take the time and giving you feedback on, improve your code. And I'm a big fan of writing clean code. So it was pretty nice of him to go in there and comment and, give me some feedback. And yeah, in the weekly assignment that I turned in, Nate commended me on the great use of data models and initializing objects and passing data cleanly. I believe I used a data model to pass data from one view controller to another, which was not part of the weekly courses, but I just had to put my own little spin on that. And the cool thing is also is that started in week three is that you're expected to write Medium articles. If you're not familiar with Medium, it's pretty much like a blogging site, but better, I feel. You pretty much create your account and you just type away, sharing. You can use it as a blog, personal blog or whatever, or just, if you're good at a craft, if you're good at something and you want to write about, it and share with others of what you know, you can, type up mostly just about anything. And, people can go in there, read it, and, commend you for it, and even comment, and just, have an open discussion about what you've typed and all that. And you can get followers, it's a nice little website. And, when I read that I had to write up an article, iOS related, something that I've learned or maybe something I've already known, one of the things that it was pretty easy for me to come up with a topic, and that topic was the use of using a constants file. And if you're not sure what a constants file is, it's pretty much a file where it holds constants and they can be accessed globally. And a constants file in Swift is pretty much a file with nested structs. And I'll make sure to leave a link to my article that I wrote on it in the podcast description so y'all can go check it out. So I know I've rambled on and on about how great DevSlopes is, but full disclosure, I'm not affiliated with DevSlopes. I'm just a, you know, paying student. But if you like what you've heard so far and are interested in their academy and how they have everything structured, pretty much, if you know you like what I've pretty much how I described it, I'll make sure to leave a link in the podcast description so you all can go check it out. And they don't only offer iOS development, they offer web development and they offer Android development, and I believe they offer a fourth language, and I want to say it's JavaScript, but I'm not 100% sure. But again, I'll make sure and leave a description in the podcast details. So at this moment in time, I'm on week 4, and it's all about working with optionals, optional binding, and safely unwrapping values and avoiding, you know, any errors in your code and crashing. I've pretty much messed with optionals for quite a while. You know, it's one of those things that you can't escape from and have to use. And but now with, you know, with this course, it's like it's a whole new dimension for me. Like, I'm actually learning the anatomy of how optionals work and how they're supposed to be used. You know, now that I'm off Hitch, I can focus and dedicate almost all my free time toward the academy. And you know, that's the thing. It's been a challenge to balance my work with the academy and trying to make time at least each day, at least an hour or two, to the courses, because you know they do suggest and they encourage you to spend at least an hour coding and being consistent and dedicated at least an hour a day. And you know, I'm still working on the balancing of both work and the courses, especially when I'm working, because, and especially when I'm working nights, because I usually pass out by, like, you know, when I work nights, I usually pass out by 11 and I'm awake by 6 in the afternoon. And even then I wake up still a little tired and everything. But the last few days of being on Hitch, I had this this drive, this bit of energy that pushed me to dedicate that hour or two to the academy. And I think it was the mere excitement that I was almost finished with my Hitch. That's where the energy came from, because, you know, I was pretty much on the last straightaway of wrapping up the Hitch and having my free time and being able to actually dedicate not just 1 or 2 hours a day, but at least 6 to 8 hours is what I like to put of my day toward coding. So I hope you can see why and forgive me why I've been out and hiatus for a month and a half. It has been challenging, and for many times I just remembered, I want to do this podcast, but I don't have time, and I'm trying to balance this and this and put in time for this. And it's really hard to, like, especially for me, I don't know about you all, but for me, when I focus on coding, it's like everything else around me is just like, you know, doesn't matter. when I get in that mode and things are working out, my code's working out, no errors, you know, it's like the perfect day, no errors. And it's like, I don't want to lose that drive. And, you know, the hours go by, the days go by, the weeks go by, and it's like, oh, I haven't done that. Oh, I haven't done that podcast. But it funny thing is that, and I didn't forget about the podcast, because throughout this whole time, I was just jotting down notes on what to discuss, what I've learned, what I've been through so far, to share with you guys. Because it has been a learning experience, actually. It really has. And it's been fun as well as challenging. So yeah, I hope you all can forgive me on you know, being away for so long. Now, before I actually dedicated most of my time to DevSlopes Academy and the courses, I was working on an app where, and I believe I mentioned this in the first podcast, I was building an app where Houstonians here can find their new favorite crawfish place and bookmark, have the ability to bookmark places, and just I was using the Yelp API, and I don't think I disclosed that I was using Swift UI. I wasn't using a UI kit. Initially I was gonna, because it's something that I already knew. Yeah. But I was like, I wanted to challenge myself. And I remember when Swift UI came out, the first thing that went through my mind is like, ah, I just got used to UI kit. Here comes Apple with another new thing that I have to learn, because I know eventually it's going to get adopted. It's going to go mainstream. And it's like, so that was, you know, 3-4 years ago, I believe, when it was introduced. And I felt that way because, not because I was lazy to learn it, it's just that I guess I was afraid to learn something new, honestly. Because it was challenging to learn just UI kit alone, and here comes Swift UI. I was like, oh, how much harder is this going to be? You know, I'd even like give it the time of day, like maybe, you know, maybe it is easy and I'm just over here, you know, overthinking it. Well, when I started researching Swift UI, and I found some courses on YouTube, and pretty much, you know, funny, through Google, their Firebase channel, they were using Swift UI to build the front end. They were making a to-do list, and I was watching that, and I was like, holy crap, you know, this is way easy, and just using lists alone is awesome. It just way easier than using table views or even collection views in UI kit. And I knew just by watching this hour tutorial on how they use lists and how easy it is to use lists and how easy it is to make these views and reuse them. And I was like, I feel like, you know, a fool, because here I was a couple of years ago just like dreading it and not wanting to learn. Now I was like, man, I should have just like, you know, learned it because of how simple I found it. And it drove me like even, you know, further to like not wanting to use Swift UI, you know, just planning out my app and everything. And I was, you know, I had a good good rhythm in building out the UI and everything. I already had. First thing I built was the API call, just so I can see the data come in and build the UI around that. But, you know, I found out about DevSlopes, and I dedicated my time on that, most of my time on that. And the reason why is because, you know, I'm not, you know, I'm not going to put or kill my crawfish app. I'm going to save it and work on it someday. But I'm still going to have my opportunity to learn Swift UI, because when I was going through the DevSlopes curriculum, there is an actual module where they introduce Swift UI. I didn't dig into the actual coursework, but I'm just excited that I saw Swift UI as part of the curriculum. And I'm really, really looking forward to that particular module, because more and more I'm seeing, I'm not seeing a lot of companies, you know, making that a requirement. Heck, some companies still look for somebody who's knowledgeable in Objective-C, and that's a decade old, you know. And they're looking for people who just have the knowledge of Swift. I have seen, you know, two or three every so often, employers or company looking for candidates who have the basic understanding of Swift UI. So, I mean, they're more focused on looking for somebody who has a great big grasp on UI kit. Great. But hey, if you know Swift UI, you know, that gives you the upper hand, because that's up and coming. You know, it's not mainstream yet, but, you know, it's around the corner. It's, you know, something that will eventually be adopted, just like how UIKit is gradually taking over Objective-C. Well, here comes Swift UI. That's going to one day gradually take over UIKit. So if you're somebody who has learned UIKit and you just don't have, you know, the desire or the motivation to learn Swift UI, whether it being, you know, you know, you're comfortable with knowing UIKit, or, you know, you simply don't care, you know, about learning Swift UI, I would encourage you guys to go on YouTube and just find a quick 10-minute, 12-minute video on what it's about. I think you'll find it a lot more interesting. Plus, just the syntax alone is it's easier. It's very repetitive, and I feel it's gonna be easier to learn. It's gonna be easier to learn because you already know UIKit. And for somebody who doesn't even know UIKit, for somebody who's just started learning iOS development, who just started like last week, if, you know, they saw a video of Swift UI, I guarantee that it will be more appealing to them versus if they watched a video, a tutorial about how UIKit is used. So again, I encourage those who have no interest in learning UIKit, or just are, I guess, timid about it, or intimidated about it, just watch, you know, again, watch a 10, 12, 15 minute video. There's plenty of them out there on YouTube that I've seen. And I've seen some, you know, how to make a to-do app. There's I've seen one of somebody building a weather app, and even like I believe I saw somebody build an Instagram. Yeah, I saw somebody build an Instagram replica, and even a Netflix one, which is very interesting. I'd be more interested in watching the one with Netflix on how to build the interface for that one. But yeah. If you're interested in Swift UI, go for it, man. Like, learn it, you know. Don't, you know, I'm not saying, you know, forget UIKit and just jump, you know, 100% on Swift UI. No, keep doing what you do on UIKit. But, you know, gradually, you know, throw in a few Swift UI videos every other week, just so, you know, you can get used to the syntax and, you know, how it's structured and all that. So, again, highly recommend jumping on some Swift UI. All right, so I want to try something new, something that I'm pretty excited about, that I thought of literally over the weekend, on to add to every episode today and from here on out. And that's a segment that I'm going to call Who You Should Follow. And it's basically, you know, over the past few years of learning iOS development, I've gradually started following developers, iOS developers, even some web developers. But again, I mostly focus on iOS development. So I try and find some really experienced iOS developers, just so, you know, I can learn off of them. And so on today's episode, I want to feature a lady named Noval Swift. She goes by Noval Swift on Twitter. I'll make sure to add her her info on the podcast notes. But I've been following Noval on Twitter since like February or so, and she's just an awesome iOS developer to follow. She recently accomplished an awesome milestone in her career, which is being hired as an engineer at Apple back in October. My most favorite things that she posts are just daily words of encouragement. Not only does she type them out, but she also posts video as well. But she posts daily words of encouragement on trying your best, being a better version of yourself, and never giving up. I think at one point she admitted that she applied at Apple 20 times before she got hired. But again, that just goes to show that, you know, as long as you keep working hard, never giving up, you know, you will accomplish your goals. And recently, as a matter of fact, yesterday, I think she posted my most favorite message so far. And she says, quote, "I was my own lawyer without a law degree. I self-published a book without a publisher. I code without a CS degree." And in all caps, she says, "Don't let rule makers be gatekeepers." And I found that, you know, so awesome to read, and it just resonated with me because, again, of not only my challenges, but, you know, for y'all as well, those who, you know, apply application after application and don't ever hear back from anybody, just, you know, and having that, you know, that I guess the sheer weight of hopelessness fall on you, that you just want to, you know, give up. But the, you know, that one line she says, "Don't let rule makers be gatekeepers," basically, to me, I translate it as, hey, just because they're asking for, you know, a bachelor's degree or 100 years of coding experience, you know, don't let that, you know, scare you or intimidate you. Just apply and hit that submit button, you know. Put your resume together, put everything that you know, your skills, everything that you need to, and everything they ask for, you know, even if you don't, again, don't have that CS degree or, you know, the, you know, 100 plus years of coding experience, you know, you just apply. And it's, you know, words of encouragement like that is what makes her a joy to follow on Twitter. And she's on Twitter. I'm not sure she's on Facebook. She might be on Instagram, but again, I just, you know, Twitter is just my main platform that I use. Now, Noval does follow other iOS developers, so feel free to peruse through her followings list to find other iOS developers. Again, I'll make sure to add her her Twitter profile in the podcast description. Now, I already have my mind set on the next developer I want to feature in the next episode, which is also fun to watch. He's knowledgeable and passionate about iOS development. But as a bonus, I want to feature another one for today. And I'll explain why in a second. He goes by the name Alan W. I think W is his last initial. But again, he goes by Alan W. And his Twitter handle is Codine_coding or Codine_coding. Ah, okay, that makes more sense. Codine_coding. And again, I'll make sure to put his info on the podcast description. But he's also a self-taught iOS developer who is now a software engineer at Yelp. And if by my calculation, I think he started self-teaching himself iOS development back in 2016, 2017. So the fact that it took him 2-3 years to accomplish being a software engineer at Yelp is pretty awesome. And it's quite a blessing to land a role like that at a big company. But you know, he also has pretty cool stuff, a lot of good content on his Twitter. But one of the cool thing that he started that I was that I happily attended a few weeks ago is he started this monthly iOS dev happy hour, pretty much where developers from all over the world pretty much congregate into a virtual meeting happy hour. Hey, you bring your beverage, your adult beverage of choice, and just, you know, mingle with other developers. Again, from, you know, iOS developers, web developers. It was a lot of fun. I couldn't stay on it that long because, again, I was on the night hitch, and they held the meeting around 3:30 in the afternoon Pacific time, which put it at 1:30 my time central. And by that time I was really exhausted, really tired from working the night before, so I couldn't attend and stay throughout the whole get together, the whole group meeting. But the reason why I'm featuring him is because he just released the date for the next iOS Dev Happy Hour. And that is going to be on Saturday, December 19th at 1:30 Pacific time. So that puts it at, again, 3:30 my time. Unfortunately, I will not be able to make it to that one due to pre-committed plans. But I hope whoever's listening can attend. And again, I'll put his profile information on the podcast notes, and you can find and I'll also make sure and link the one tweet he posted of the event coming up. So cool thing is that the admission is free, and again, it's held virtually over Zoom. And if you're wondering, yes, Noval Swift will be in attendance, as well as other respective developers out there. On the one I attended, pretty much when the meeting started, Alan, he already had a few guest speakers to speak, and they just talk about their, where they've come from, their background, and their development career and all that. And it's really fun, really inspiring to listen to. And maybe about 15, 20 minutes into the meeting, you get separated into equal proportional groups, and where you basically break off into those groups, and you just, you know, have a smaller group that you get to talk to, you get to mingle with. That part I missed because I logged off early simply because I was so exhausted. But gosh, if only I swear, if I wasn't that tired, I would have stayed, and I would have loved to pick brains and network. And I think that's the one thing that Alan really pushes, that you network with people, because everyone in that group, you know, we're all in for the same thing. You know, we all enjoy coding. We all want to help each other out. You know, we all just want to be resources to one another. And, you know, the one thing I love about iOS development is that it just has a great community of developers and people who just want to just talk 24/7 about iOS development. You know, they're passionate too, just as you're passionate about it. And I think it's just awesome that Alan started this happy hour. Again, this the happy hour is Saturday, December 19th at 1:30 Pacific time. And again, I'll make sure to add all that info. Don't worry about it. I'll add it all in the podcast descriptions, so you can reference to. All right, all. Well, that's going to wrap up episode 5. Again, I sincerely apologize for the month-long hiatus and just leaving you hanging. Just know that it wasn't in vain. It was, I knew it was worth, you know, the time to focus more time on the academy and just getting the ball rolling on that, getting a feel for it. And for sure, I'll be reevaluating and restructuring my schedule a little better to make time for both the courses and the podcast. Even though podcasting can be a bit tedious, trust me, I've been enjoying this. Just, you know, I if you haven't noticed yet, I just love talking about, you know, iOS development and just sharing my experiences and just encouraging you all to hang in there. If you're just starting out, keep going. Don't stop. Be consistent. Code every day. Code, you know, at least 30 minutes. And if you can't code, if you can't bring your laptop or whatever, you know, on your phone, just watch a video of it or, you know, read an article of it. A lot of material out there for y'all just to, you know, have code in your mind and just, you know, work at it. And, you know, even if I made an impact on one person because of this podcast, that's one more person that I ever thought I'd affect. So until next time, keep coding, keep applying yourself, keep moving forward. Happy coding.